Hey everybody, Frank Kern here. Hope everyone's doing well. I've got on the phone with me a guy who is consistently making me look bad. And he's doing that by selling way more stuff online than me and all of my little fancy guru friends put together, really. And he's doing it largely by email. And it's I'm starting to take personal offense. So I want to get to the bottom of it, see how he's doing it, see what's going on. And his name is Clayton Makepeace, and he is a big, big, super fancy marketing guy, usually outside of the sphere of our awareness in terms of, like, just strictly internet marketing stuff. Clayton's been around forever and has written some of the most successful ads and promotions in the world, and he's now switched his attention to selling things on the internet, and he has therefore started selling more stuff than us. So, damn you, Clayton Makepeace, but welcome to the call anyway.
Thanks, Frank. I'm doing great. I just want to, you know, pay my dues for being on this call by mentioning that pretty much all I've done is hung on every word you've ever written and copied you shamelessly.
Yeah. All right. I think everyone should know that I specifically asked Clayton to say that.
But do you want me to say the thing about? Do you want me to say the thing about you inventing the internet too?
Oh yeah, well that part I really did. In my mind, Al Gore and I are telepathic, and he picked up on my thoughts, and then he stole my invention. Really?
Yeah, I thought he was just stealing your thunder. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why he's like that. Insecure, I guess.
Yeah.
So, dude, I mean, you got some pretty. There's a bunch of big numbers flying around with your name attached to it. So, what's the scoop here? But tell me they're inaccurate, please, so I'll feel better about myself. I thought I was doing pretty good. I'm pretty good about what you're doing.
Well, last year we did somewhere around $80 million in sales online. That's for two different clients combined, and. You and I were chatting just before the call that on some of these campaigns that tend to run 4 to 6 weeks in length, we pulled in as much as $10.5 million. And just last month we did a campaign where we pulled in $2.5 million in just 3 days. So it's just really been great. I'm working primarily with a client's customer files, so the numbers are pretty much. As you know, the people we're talking to are well qualified. You know, I have to qualify this by saying I'm talking to people who have been around and who have bonded with my clients over a period of months and in some cases many years. But we're real happy with the numbers.
I guess so. You know, I mean, it's a pretty good start to 60. 80 million or whatever, damn it. You know, I thought I was cool. I was like, yeah, no, 20, well, it's 30-something million now, but here you go, having to mess up everybody, you know. why don't you leave us alone? You know what I mean? It's like, we're trying to look cool over here, and, you know, what the hell? So does any of this stuff involve launches or whatever? I guess since they're already customers, you can still launch to a customer base. So what's like the... What's the context, I guess, in which these campaigns are being run?
Yeah, well, I just wrote about this. I think, really, the whole thing with product launch formula is that it not much of what's really in the formula is new stuff. I think what's happened here, you know, as I look through what Jeff's done with product launch formula, is that he's just done an excellent job of collecting and then codifying triggers that cause people to buy and that you know, direct marketers have been using for decades. Jeff's genius is in pulling it together and adapting it to the web in a way that's really powerful. So there's a lot of similarity between what Jeff does and what we've done for that reason, because it's not based on the medium. It's not based on anything really but human nature. And acknowledging what motivates, what captures people's attention, and what motivates them, and what causes them to act. So, I actually started doing this before I ever looked into what product launch formula was all about. And our mutual buddy, Rich Sheffrin, last November kind of piqued my interest in it. And so I finally took a look at Jeff's material and thought it was absolutely brilliant, especially since I saw so many techniques in there that I was using in my launches. But I picked up some good new ideas, too, from him. But, yeah, our launches tend to be our campaigns on our house file here tend to be runs 4 to 6 weeks in length, and they are centered around an online event of some kind. You know, a lot of product launches that they're pretty much centered around a free gift or a series of free gifts that you're going to give people. What we do is we spend a week to 2 weeks at the beginning of every campaign not selling anything, simply using email to invite people to come to an online event, and they need to register for it, but registration is free. So we create a sense of obligation because they've registered. And then once they've registered, we pretty much leave them alone until the event actually happens. They receive a confirmation of the registration, and that's pretty much it. But in our editorial, the clients I work with have e-zines that go out in the morning, and then we send promotional emails in the afternoon. And so in the editorial, we continue building up the upcoming event and how great it's going to be and how important it's going to be. And
what's the editorial? Is that like a section in the e-zine or something?
Right. The e-zines are 100% editorial. There's never a pitch in them. And and because, you know, one of them is in the financial field, the other one's in the health field. Let's take the one in the financial field because that's the biggest. Every single day, 6 days a week, you receive an e-zine, in this case called Money and Markets. And if anybody wants to really see how these campaigns unfold, just go to moneyandmarkets.com and sign up for the e-zine, and you'll receive all the materials to be able to build a nice swipe file. But the morning issues of Money and Markets are entirely market commentary, what's going on with the economy, what's going on with the various markets, the stock market, the currency market, the commodities market, and kind of tries to clarify the day's events for people and let them see the direction things are going, where the opportunities and dangers are. And it's just content. So we get a very high open rate. And in those emails, we might have a PS about the upcoming event with a link if you haven't already registered, you know, register here. Then in the afternoons, we have dedicated emails that go out to the file that just sell the living daylights out of the event, all the reasons why if they don't attend, they might as well just, you know, shoot themselves. I'll talk a little bit about the events themselves in a minute, but that gives us a period of a week to 2 weeks during each cycle where all we're doing is begging people to accept something of value for free. We're not banging the list every day, you know, buy this, buy that, buy the other thing. And so we're building trust, we're building momentum for the event, we're bonding with our people. We're demonstrating our goodwill. We're creating an obligation imbalance. We're doing all of those things that Frank talks about. And, I mean, that...
We'll just say Frank. Yeah,
okay, that Frank talks about. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
And so then the event happens, and the events take... we work really hard to vary the format of the events to keep them interesting. Our first event... early last year was a live conference call, and we had an advisor in Berlin, one in Brazil, one in Shanghai, and one in the United States. And these guys were calling in to report on what's happening in those markets. And at the time, those stock markets were just exploding in size, and the people who were investing there were making money hand over fist. And so we used drama and the intensity and the boots on the ground idea there to really create excitement around these stock markets around the world. And the event, all of the events go on for about an hour. There's typically 45 to 50 minutes of just content. And then the last 10 to 15 minutes are an offer of a product that helps you capture this opportunity. So, after 45 minutes of the report from Brazil and from Berlin, and we had one other guy besides in Shanghai, and there was one other one overseas. And so after 45 minutes of that, pretty much the listeners were in a kind of a lather about the opportunities overseas. And then at that point, we had a very low-key portion that just basically said, well, what's the best way to profit? And we segmented our file so the people who had bought from us before were offered a $2,500 product that helps them trade options on stocks in those markets. And then for our leads and low-dollar buyers on the file, they were offered a $1,000 service that that gives them buy and sell signals for exchange-traded funds in those markets. So so we stratified the file that way. And so that was the first one. Then we did a straight-up webinar that was two of our advisors talking. And let's see, what was it on? Oh, yeah, it was on the currency markets and how to make money with the dollar falling and with the euro and the yen and the pound rising against the dollar. And that was a fun campaign because in our launch, we were able to use pictures of the Fed chief, you know, Ben Bernanke, the guy who's printing all this money to bail out stupid lending institutions that got greedy. And by doing so, destroying the value of the dollar. So we had an enemy, and that really energized our people. And that event was a very simple webinar, but it followed the basic template of the preceding event. And then our third campaign last year was on the opportunities in commodities, natural resource investing, and for that one, we had a panel discussion, a bunch of people who were experts in that area, and following the same template. And last month, we did one again for currencies, and we had have a new advisor on that one. So, and then basically, what happens is after the event, right now we're planning one for next month that'll be interactive. And where people will be able to ask questions, there'll be a live audience. The whole thing will be on video, and that we're really excited about that one. It's called the Forex Forum.
Here's the deal, though. All right, so it sounds to me like you guys are emailing people to register for a teleseminar or webinar or whatever, and then you're pitching them stuff, right? So that's
right.
Not particularly a new model. So all the
no.
guys in our universe do that all the time, but we are not pulling in $60 million a year doing it. So what the hell are you guys doing to pull in $60 million a year? I mean, let's start at the beginning, all right? So in our little world, getting people to actually show up versus those who register has been a problem, and getting people to even register has been a problem. So how are you getting high numbers of registrations, and how are you getting those people to actually attend the event?
Okay. Well, last month we had 20,000 people register for the call, and just over 10,000 actually showed up. And for us, it's just simply the messaging. I think I have an advantage, quite frankly, because, you know, what we're doing is never positioned as being anything not even a transparent manner, is it being positioned as anything that could be anything, that there could be any alternative our ulterior motive for this thing other than to help you, our subscriber. And it's just, and the amount of content that's, we write the scripts in advance, all of the messaging, both in the e-zine and in daily emails are, is entirely dedicated, you know, to what you know, the benefits of attending this thing. At the end of this hour, here's what will be true that isn't true now. And we'll have all of the things that we're going to cover. And we always make sure that they're the things that are foremost in our prospects' minds right now. And the advantage I'm talking about that we have is simply that in the investment market, there's news every single day. And our investors are seeing that news, they're reading the headlines, and they have feelings about those headlines. They're either afraid because of them, or they're excited about them, or they're confused and they need them clarified. And so there's this constant stream of wonderful fodder that we can use in our emails to keep everything very fresh. We're not banging on, you know, I'll show you how you can make $1 million, I'll show you how you can make $1 million, you know, over and over again. You know, we have just a rich texture, you know, of things that we can talk about. So I think that's a huge advantage that we have. And that should make you happy, because it doesn't mean that what we're doing is so much better necessarily. However, I do think that, you know, we've got a different market. We have good price points. We have people that are fully involved. And any entrepreneurs on your file who are looking to generate these kinds of numbers really can take a lesson from that. You know, if you decide to move into a product niche where there's constant change and therefore headlines and therefore things for your people to deal with and therefore dominant emotions that they have about those things, then your multiples can be huge because people are really, really engaged. The other thing that we do that may or may not be different, I mean, product launch formula anymore has gotten so large and there are so many permutations to it, you know, so many creative innovations on the basic idea that there's no real one way to, you know, characterize it. But in our launches, we have the day of the event where people can attend live, and we always, on that event, give them something they can do right now, today. As soon as you get off the phone, call your broker, do this, right? Then the 5 minutes after the event is over, an email goes to the entire file. Wow, did you see that? 20,000 people signed up to attend. Tony Sagami was incredible. He was on fire for Shanghai, named his three favorite stocks to buy now. In fact, the event was so good, we're leaving it online for a few days. It's very timely, so we can't leave it up long. If you missed it or want to watch it again, click here now. And then we follow with about a week where we have a countdown to when the event is coming offline, the recording of the event is coming offline. And during that week, we'll typically get as many views of the event as we did on the day that it actually happened. So on a 20,000 registration event like we just had, we'll end up with 20,000 views. And then we follow, when the event comes down, it comes down. That's it, you've missed it. But we tend to begin then a countdown to the first recommendations to be issued by the service that we were selling on the event. And that campaign will run a week to 10 days. And at the end of that, we're typically done. However, if response is still high, we have done second countdowns on, from time to time. So.
The old second countdown trick.
Yeah.
It's going away forever. We meant to say it's going away forever after we do the second countdown.
Well, actually, we have an advantage there, too, because, you know, instead of delivering a static product that's going to be the same tomorrow as it is today,
it really is.
These investment services, they'll make one series of recommendations on June 15th, and then there's another series coming up on July 1st. And so, you know, it's much easier for us to go back and say, you know, the next recos are on these companies and get them all excited about those new companies, but you have to be on board before such and such a date, because it's a serial product rather than a one-shot delivery product.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the recommendation campaign. Now, and the reason I'm asking you about this so much is I'm trying to figure out how to transfer what you're doing to what we're doing. You know, so basically I'm trying to steal your ideas. But I'm also that. And I'm, you know, very charismatic and good looking. So, but that's really all that matters, you know. What is that all about? So, like, the product is a thing where you're recommending stocks or recommending techniques or whatever. So that's the thing you buy. So are you taking little snippets of it and giving it to people in this recommendation campaign, hoping that will be like the hook that makes them say, damn, that's really cool, I think I want to buy more of that, or what?
Sure. We're able to, like, for example, there's a campaign that we just did. We had our advisor calling in from Shenzhen, China, and he was there to investigate a company that makes batteries and has a deal on the table to make batteries for hybrid cars and fuel cell cars for General Motors and also three different Japanese automakers. And nobody knows this deal is in the offing. And so in our campaign, we don't name the company, but we tantalize them with the facts about the company that make it a no-brainer. And you really feel like, you know, if I don't buy this, if I don't find out what this stock is and buy it, I might as well just, you know, crawl up and die. So, you know, we're able to work it that way. And then on the call, in fact, I tell you what, there's, you want to see the power of this thing. There's a company that we just talked about on the call is the symbol is CBAK. You can go on Big Charts and do a search for it. And you can see last week on Thursday this the spike in the stock that happened immediately after the call. The stock went up, if I remember right, it was something like 60 or 70% in value instantaneously when the stock was named on our call, because people ran out and bought it.
That's awesome. That's a rabid market.
Yeah.
Right there.
It is. It's a great market. And but, you know, in terms of selling, you know, when you talk about your market, you're talking about selling courses on marketing and seminars and that kind of thing?
Typically, yeah.
Yeah, well, the I really think something that's missing in a lot of the launches that I see in that niche is the freshness and timeliness of those launches. And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that, well, I don't know what it comes from, but, you know, you're doing marketing all the time. And I did see Rich Sheffrin do this, but you're doing marketing all the time, you know. And the funny thing about product launch is you're using product launch to sell to these people. They know that you're doing that because, you know, a lot of them know that because they're very savvy. And they've read Jeff Walker's stuff, and they know what's going on there. And so they know what's being done to them, but the value of the content is so good that they stay engaged, and the intrigue and all of the other triggers that you use. But what if there was something new that was actually happening right then, you know, where they could go online and they could watch you selling something else to a group of people, or you tied somehow what you're doing into something that's happening in the news. I mean, everybody right now is
right.
Absolutely. Excuse me?
Just made an, I said we have something timely we can use right now because the FTC just made yet another change to the CAN spam law, which
there you go.
I don't know how significant it is, but we can make it out to be a big deal. You know, I think it was like use a comma or something. I don't know. Don't quote that, you know, but I don't think it was glued. But we could certainly make a big deal out of it.
Oh, absolutely. That's serious stuff. And, you know, on the fun side, I have a friend whose business is selling online coaching to the top tech companies in the country, you know, Hewlett-Packard, IBM, Apple, Cisco, Oracle. And he sells training modules to these people that are very similar in structure to what to the kinds of training programs that are being done in the marketing niche right now. But they can't get participation in their online events anywhere near as, you know, much as we've done, and so he's bringing those guys to us now and asking us to create campaigns for them. And as part of that, he's been forwarding all of the invitations that those people are sending to their customers, and they're abysmal. I mean, they're absolutely horrible. You know, it's all text speak. There's no emotional engagement whatsoever. There's no deadline. There's no scarcity sell. There's no anything that would cause these people to want to attend this event. In fact, their promotions don't even present the benefits for attending. So, you know, there's a huge opportunity there. You know, anybody who understands product launch formula can make a freaking fortune, not just doing it for, you know, in the marketing niche, which is getting very crowded and more than a little jaded in some cases. But, I mean, what if you were to take those principles and apply them outside of this niche? I mean, what right now, the conversation we had yesterday, what if we had the contacts that we had last year when iPhone was launched and were able to create an online event introducing iPhone to retailers across the country, and to use what we know about the techniques I use and the techniques that Jeff Walker teaches, the product launch formula thing, to drive hundreds of millions of consumers and you know, hundreds of thousands of retailers and wholesalers to Apple for this great product launch. You know, I think the results would be absolutely explosive. I think that's the opportunity here. And, you know, with these online sales techniques. And we're getting ready to exploit them. And I think anybody else that just kind of backs away from the trees for a moment and says, where can I find a virgin audience that's dealing with fast with changes in their marketplace, and incorporate these proven techniques? There's no doubt that these techniques work like gangbusters in other industries. I think the people that do that are going to be the first ones to have, you know, $100 million, $200 million launches.
Well, I think the big takeaway for me right now, and this is besides, like, making people see, like, a clear reason and benefit for taking action, whether that be buy or, in this case, attend an event, is to tie it with things that are going on that's already front-of-mind stuff. And
topical.
In our world doing that. I don't do it, certainly. And, I'm on everybody's list, and I never really see anything. I see it, people tie things to topical stuff that's going on within our tiny little niche, but I think that's, people are just becoming desensitized to that. So it's almost like if you tie something to an event that's in the news, the association between you and what's happening in the news, like, forms in the reader's or the prospect's mind, and therefore legitimizes you a little bit.
Oh,
you know,
sure,
it's like, well, we're going to get on here and we're going to talk about this new legislation that's coming up and what it means to your business. And next thing you know, the psychological connection is made that these guys know what they're doing because they're talking about legislation. So they must.
That has a lot to do with it. And also, you know, the think about what that does for you in terms of positioning you as a serious broker, you know, in this field. And also think about what it does, you know, put on your copywriting hat, and you know, what kind of headlines, what kind of emails could you write that would make attending absolutely mandatory about that the FTC change, for example? I mean,
Jesus.
You could simply just ask the question, is something you're doing now, something that you're doing now the way you've always done it, capable of landing you in jail in the next 60 days? Or costing you a huge fine? You know, this is serious stuff. You can't afford not to attend.
Yeah. I really did get sued by the FTC, you know, so that would be, damn it, I wish we weren't recording this because now everyone will know what I'm up to. Okay, everyone listening, just buy my stuff anyway and we won't have to go through it, you know. I won't do the FTC.
But, you know, it could be topical
yeah.
Stuff they're already aware of, but also it could be when I got off on that little tangent about these tech companies that are doing these abysmally promoted online events, really where I was going to go with that originally, I lost my place, was that their invitations are so absolutely horrible that every one of them is a case study in how not to do it. And the fact that this just landed in my email box, and let's tear it apart. Let me teach you some lessons based on what Apple's doing and HP's doing and IBM's doing and how they could do it 1,000 times better, you know? Again, you're giving them tremendous value. It's fresh, it's new, it's happening right now, and I think that's good. Giving them insights or a peek into how you function, you know, when you're working on an actual campaign other than, you know, your own. People love that, and you're being presented with a new problem and the solutions that you're coming up with. All this stuff is dynamic. It's moving. It's not the same old, you know, let me make you a millionaire, you know, kind of stuff. And I think that works.
Stepping away from the noise a little bit as well, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I think that our invitations are getting to be the same. It's mm-hmm. like the same old thing. So let's talk about getting people to attend the event. You've got 20,000 people to register for the big one we were talking about. How big was the list you were sending it out to?
200.
So 10% of your 10% response rate to the list. We don't get that, or I don't, and I'm pretty good at this stuff.
You know, mm-hmm.
I'll get maybe 5%, maybe half of that. So do you think it's a case of the market that I'm in and that a lot of people listening to this in, which is, you know, the internet marketing market, do you think it's because we're getting pitched so many teleseminars and online events that they ain't falling for it anymore, for lack of a better word, or do you think it's we're doing something wrong in the invite?
There are a lot of things that I think can be done, and a lot of reasons why what we do work very well, and we've covered a lot of them. You know, there's topicality, the fact that the information is dynamic. We're not just appealing to one emotion or one desire, greed. We're appealing to fear. You know, if you don't make the right moves in the financial market, you're going to lose money. They're already invested, and you know, so we have that going for us. But there's another thing too. You know, product launch formula is so powerful, just the strategy is so powerful that it's produced very good results for the people who have used it correctly. But, you know, there's a reason why one launch does $20 million and another one does $250,000, you know, and they're more than one reason. I mean, the product, the size of the niche, and all of that plays into it too. But the quality of the copy, the quality of the messaging, and the way the copy's written, and the subject lines, and the headlines in the emails, and, you know, a copywriter who knows enough to create texture in a campaign, where you have some emails that are very, very warm and intimate, and other ones that are just, you know, all flags flying and trumpets blaring. A copywriter who knows how to write copy. And I think what's happened a lot in the product launch field is that because the strategy itself was so powerful, the copy took a back seat. And when you combine great sales copy with great strategy, that's when you get exponential results. And I've seen this happen in other industries before. I was at Bill Guthy's house a few years back, of Guthy Ranker fame, the big infomercial company. And we were chatting, and I asked him, I said, you know, what do you do with the names of the customers that you're selling $100,000 $300 juicers a year, and you know, another $100,000 Vanna White tooth whitening kits a year, and Victoria Jackson stuff, and you know, you're bringing in hundreds of thousands of new customers. What do you do with these customers after they buy? He goes, what do you mean, what do we do with them? I said, well, don't you send them other offers, or, you know, do anything to bond with them and keep them buying? He goes, no, we never figured that, you know, was worth doing. And I told him, I said, Bill, you're leaving 90% of your money on the table. And he didn't care. They were making so much money on the front end that it had never occurred to them that 90% of their business was still waiting for them to develop it. And I think kind of product launch formula is in the same place today. The strategy itself has been so powerful. And I know you've been involved writing copy for other people's launches. And if I heard right, you know, the biggest launches in this field. And that was because you came in and said, okay, you've got a valid strategy. Let me maybe kibitz a little bit on the strategy with you, and I'll do the copy. And the combination of great copy with great strategy is what has made those launches, you know, the biggest in your industry. And that's what we do at, you know, with our clients. We bring in the strategy. We give them killer copy at every level. And the combination of the two is absolutely explosive.
So it sounds like we've got the strategy pretty good.
Yeah.
Real word. But the and you're right. I think we do lack copy, because what happens with us is we just copy each other's copy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's mm-hmm. like it's kind of like those, like, remember in the 80s you had the little radios that had two cassette players built in, you know, so you could make a copy of the cassette and then
yeah.
you pass it on to your buddy, and next thing you know, like 20 dudes later, they have this copy of a copy of a copy, and it sounds kind of like this, and it sounds horrible. You know, I think that's what we're doing. I mean, I have a niche business, and it's the sales letter for that niche business, and by niche, I mean non-internet marketing related stuff, is a ripoff of John Reese's auction secrets letter. And then I've got friends of mine who rip off my niche letter for other completely non-related things, you know, that was a ripoff originally of an auction secrets sales letter, you know, so it's like
ripoff begets ripoff,
and eventually, you're absolutely right, we really don't sit around and think that much about the copy anymore, and I think copy is king, man. I think, you know, there's, it's kind of like, I don't know who said it, maybe Carlton, he was like, you know, take everything away, but give me a crayon and a legal pad, and I can, like, scribble out some stuff and hand it to people on the street and get my fortune back. Because of the importance of copy. So what's magic, I guess? You know, like, well, I would say if you were to advise us, but really you are advising us right now, like, well, what do we do? What are some things we can do just to put
there's a lot that you can do, and really more than we can handle on a telephone call. But the techniques for writing headlines that have worked so well in direct mail and in print ads over the years work well in headlines on the web and also work great on subject lines. Let me just endorse something that you just said. I've had in direct mail, I've had the occasion to do a couple of things. First, you know, mail the same promotion to the same names 30 days apart and see the attrition that occurs. And it's typically 20-30%. So by mailing the same copy to the same names 30 days later, you know, I lost 30% of my response to those names, therefore my money. And I've also plagiarized myself and written entirely new packages, but using the same basic themes, and tested that against a control, and I've seen a similar reduction in response. So when one copywriter or product launch guy or marketing guy is emulating somebody else's copy, and the copy doesn't feel fresh, it doesn't feel new, it therefore doesn't feel sincere, and the market has a long memory. You know, let's face it, a lot of the people that you guys are marketing to in the marketing area, these guys are also everyone else's customers. And so they saw the letters that you're plagiarizing, and they know that you're plagiarizing. And so coming up with something fresh can create just an instant incremental increase in response at every level. And, I mean, you'll get more people in, more people will attend, more people will convert, more people will come back for a second sale. So copy is king. And at every new media that comes out, the medium itself attracts enough attention that anybody can throw any piece of crap up there and it's going to work, right? But then the same cycle happens. The fields get crowded. The promotions begin working less and less well. And if that hasn't happened already with product launch, it will. And then somebody says, hey, what if we use better copy? What if we actually paid for some sales copy or went to school and studied how to write great copy, how to grab attention, how to convert that attention to readership, how to engage a prospect in my email, and how to move him to action? Now, what if we really went to school on that and learned how to do it well? Wouldn't that give us an edge over our competitors? And in every single case, the answer has been yes. And we've just done a report on all of this, by the way, Frank, and it's free, and it's called The Copywriting Conspiracy. And anybody that wants it, you're welcome to have it. Well, I have a couple of recommendations. First is, if you haven't read our e-zine, the total package, I strongly suggest that you check us out, because we have over 400 articles in our, nearly 500 now articles in our archives about how to write copy and you know, how to solve the copywriting problems that you run into every day. And they're totally free. You don't even have to opt in. You just come on over and go to the archives and start reading. The second thing is, we have a new report that we've just published that Tony Flores, one of my associates, wrote, and I think is excellent on this very subject, and it's called The Copywriting Conspiracy. And it goes into tremendous detail about how better copy can multiply the response to product launch promotions by an order of magnitude. And it's free on the site. When you go to the homepage, you'll see it. Banner for it in the right-hand column. Just click it and download your copy.
Well, that's pretty hard to beat right there. Free stuff. And you've been, I mean, that's really what you do, is because I think lots of, I'd say probably 80% of the people listening to this right now, your name is either very new to them or they haven't heard of you. And the reason why is because you're like one of these extremely hardcore real guys, as opposed to those yahoos working in our underwear, you know, that really does this stuff in the real world. So how long have you been in the game, so to speak?
37 years. 37 years. Yeah, I wrote my first sales letter 37 years ago. And, you know, it was fun. I didn't get paid for it. I just did it for fun. And it worked. And then I got into a film and television production. I moved to Los Angeles to take a job there with a major studio in 74, when the recession was basically killing film and video production there. And so found myself with a child and a pregnant wife, and no income. And I saw an ad for a small direct response marketing agency in Palos Verdes that needed a copywriter. And I'd written for a lot of the film work that I had done. And so I said, hell, I can do that. So I went in, auditioned, got the job. And that's how I started.
And then 37 years, and how many millions do you think your stuff has brought in?
Well, the last time we actually sat down and counted, we were up to about $1.5 billion. In total sales, yeah. We're still adding $100 million or more to the, hanging another $100 million or more to the peg every year. So, yeah, it's been great. It's been a lot of fun. And these days, you know, I'm doing it for 10% of revenues. So, you know, every time I sell $10 million worth of product, I get $1 million for myself. So that's very nice.
Yeah.
And, Yeah, but you're right. I think your observation is correct, and I think that comes through too. You know, the thing is that I spend 3 or 4 hours on weekends writing an article for the total package, and all the rest of my time is spent actually in the trenches, designing the strategy, writing the copy, counting the money, figuring out what we did wrong, and then going out and doing it again, and doing it for clients who then pay me, you know, 10% of sales in return for doing it. So, you know, I've got a lot on the line. I'm not one of those guys that, you know, just promotes his own products. I know you're not either. And you learn a lot more that way. Also, you know, one of the things that you learn a lot from is that for most of those 37 years, I was a freelance copywriter, which meant that Phillips Publishing or Agora or KCI or Rodale Press or Nightingale Conant would call me up and say, hey, you know, Gary Bensavenger, Jim Rutz, or you know, one of the other top writers has a real hot control for Deepak Chopra's product, and we wonder if you'd like to try to kick the living daylights out of it. And so then, you know, if you accept the job, you're going up against the very best copywriters in the business, and if you beat them, your royalties can be enormous. For example, I just wrote a direct mail piece 2 years ago for a health company that sold $60 million worth of product and mailed 60 million pieces. And I received a $50 a thousand royalty. So for every 1,000 pieces it was mailed, I got $50. So that was $3 million for a month's work. That's now, and you know, that's not just bragging. I want you to understand that's how important copy is. The mature companies, you know, who have been doing this for a long time and understand the power of copy are thrilled to be able to write checks like that to copywriters. That's how important copy is in the success of their campaign.
So it's not even a chase them down kind of thing. I think we're still in our infancy, you know.
Absolutely.
In the internet world, that's all I've ever done, really, within the marketing scheme of things for about 10 years. And I think when it comes to copy and salesmanship and persuasion, I think we're still in the beginning of the game. Now, our little microcosmic world of the internet marketing niche has seen lots and lots of the same promotions run over and over again with a different wrapper on it. So it makes sense that to believe that, oh, well, you know, people are starting to get jaded. But I think that the internet as a medium has not seen just outstanding, awesome copy in 99.999% repeating of its markets out there. So I think anyone that comes in and can actually write and write really well and gives enough of a damn to, like, not copy each other's stuff, you know, oftentimes haphazardly, not even knowing how the promotion that they're copying did in the first place, can just take over, you know.
Well,
The key. It is the absolute fundamental key, period. There's nothing more important.
Absolutely. And, you know, the fact, and I don't know this to be true, but if product launch promotions are not working as well as they once did, it's actually a good thing. And if it hasn't happened yet, when it does happen, it's going to be a good thing. Because it's then and only then that it'll cause people who tend to get lazy, because product launch is pretty easy. Once you get the hardest thing in the world to do is to write the copy. They say it's like opening a vein and bleeding on the page. The people who have kind of gotten fat and happy sending out mediocre materials are going to have to find themselves in a position where they have to learn copywriting principles in order not just to grow but to survive. And that's the healthiest possible thing for the industry, because it's only when people start doing that that they'll realize the full potential of product launch formula. I'm absolutely convinced that right now the people, even the most successful people who are doing it, still have no clue as to how profitable it can really be if that great strategy was combined with great sales copy.
So it's kind of like we've got a howitzer cannon and we're sticking 22 caliber bullets in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
So everyone can get themselves some really big bullets by going to your site and getting all kinds of free stuff, which is awesome, dude. Thank you for paying attention to our little circle here in the internet world.
Well, thank you, man. It's been a lot of fun.
$1 billion a year, whatever it is, man. Damn it. You know. We all thought we were cool. You know, you come in here, it's like the kid down the street that gets, like, his dad gives him, you know, the family car, and he's washed it and waxed it, and then you pull up and you're in your new 911. It's like, damn, dude, we thought we were cool. The old family car with a new paint job on it. Clayton is 911. What the hell?
I tell you, somebody else you should talk to. Somebody who makes me feel very small, and that's a guy named Drayton Bird. Drayton was David Ogilvy's partner. He was managing chairman of Ogilvy Direct. Ogilvy made their direct. And he's still working with Richard Branson and at Virgin Atlantic and a bunch of the other top country companies in the UK and Europe. He's an absolute delight. The two of you will really love each other. He's just outrageous and very self-effacing, but he's bought himself a new Rolls-Royce every year since the 50s, and he's trained every creative director at every major agency in Europe, and he's a real trip. You need to meet Drayton and introduce him to your people.
I'll do it. That's great. Is he from the UK?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. That guy is awesome. I've been to his site and read some of his stuff, and it's hilarious. He comes across as kind of crotchety.
He's just hilarious. He says right on his easy and is called Bird Droppings, and he says right on his site, he says, "I have five children. Most of them were mine." And he's just hilarious. And, yeah, look him up. You'd really enjoy talking to him.
Cool, man. Well, thanks again, dude, for doing this call, and I demand everyone to get the free stuff that you're offering to them, and if they don't get it, then they're just silly and should, like, go do something else, become insurance salespeople or something. Get out of the way, you know?
Well, I want to thank you for having me on today, and
all right.
It's been a lot of fun.
Cool, man.